This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Power Life, Sundays 9 p.m. to midnight on Power 98.7.
This is Power 98.7, Power Life. With you until until midnight. Wow, I want to go back in time. Until midnight. And you can keep telling us what you are grateful for this evening as we go into our next conversation. Joining me in studio is Gloria Nkosi, a personal development coach and a minister. We also have on the line Gogo Dikeledi Letsholo, a traditional healer, bishop, and gobela. And they will be speaking to us about the culture of pregnancy announcements in both the Christian way, but also in the traditional way. Announcing the pregnancy, having a baby shower, and so forth. You know, somebody on Twitter said something quite rude. I'm actually going to read it because I'm just so shocked at what I read. Before we welcome the guests, because I'm just like, why would you say something like this to me? That's rude. It's very rude. So this person says, the nose says you are the one who's pregnant. My whole nose, which has been like this for how many years? Yeah, no, Shem, La Bua, they're by the Twitter streets, eh? La Bua. But anyway, let's welcome our guests. Gloria, thank you so much for coming to studio.
Wow, I just had to laugh at that. Thank you for having me. Good evening to the listeners and good evening to everyone.
You know, sometimes you must just laugh at these things, right?
Yeah, or else you're just going to lose
You'll
it.
You'll lose your mind. You'll really lose your mind. But let's welcome Gogo Letsholo. Thokoza, Gogo.
Thokozani. Good evening, Sis Gloria.
So let me start off actually with the conversation that I was having with the Power Listener earlier. I'll start with you, Gloria. What would you say you are grateful for?
Oh, actually, when you asked that question, I was already sitting in the lounge and I thought to myself, I have so much to be grateful for. Today, somebody, this was my birthday month, by the way.
Oh, happy belated.
Thank you. So actually, somebody booked me a full body massage as a birthday gift. Then somebody saw that I uploaded a status. Somebody saw that and another person said, listen, let me grab you some lunch. Where would you like to have your lunch? So I'm so grateful. The last 2 years I didn't celebrate my birthday because of COVID. Then of course Ziyakhala happened last year.
Yeah.
So this year actually was, you know, very important for me to celebrate. So I'm so grateful for life and grateful for the people around me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I think that's the important thing, hey? The little things that we should really be grateful for. Gogo, what would you say you're grateful for?
I'm actually also grateful for life, but also wisdom, which is something that's very scarce these days. So wisdom and the people around me reminding me that I need them and they need me.
No, that is really great. Okay, let's get into our conversation, right, before we delve deeper into that. So, Gloria, let me start with you. This thing of announcing pregnancies, right? I mean, I grew up, with knowing that you don't say anything until you're about, 3 months pregnant? So what are the guidelines when it comes to Christianity, really, of announcing a pregnancy?
I think, let me first start by greeting Bishop Ugogo on the other side. She greeted me, so I need to greet her as well, be greeted. I think, let me start here. When it comes to, you see, pregnancy, how it is biologically formed in itself puts itself in a secret place, you know, without us going deeper anywhere else, pregnancy hides itself. So from a biblical point of view, we know that there's great interest and there's divinity and there is a sense of consecration, holiness, you know, sanctification. It is something really precious that our God holds very high. To back it up, I'll tell you, many times you'd read in the Bible that when a woman, some woman would struggle to fall pregnant, then they would need to pray about it. And after some time, just before they conceive, a word would be sent by the Lord about who the baby's name is going to be, what the child should eat. So this emphasizes on the fact that there's great interest, upon pregnancy and how God decides to show off, or rather to manifest pregnancy, says to us there is a level of secrecy. There's an interesting story of a man who was put in a position where he was muted and he went deaf. His name is Zechariah. And this was because the angel said to him, listen, you are going to conceive. And he had issues of believing. How was that possible? Mm. Now, to stop him from saying things that he shouldn't be saying, the angel said, I'm going to mute you and you're going to go deaf until the baby is actually born. So from a Christian perspective, because of the depth of pregnancy, because of how spiritual this is, and because of how sensitive it is around what people say, you actually don't even announce a pregnancy. A pregnancy announces itself by the time it starts to show off.
Mm. So that's usually what, around 5 months or so when it will start, plus minus. Gogo, traditionally, at which point should a pregnancy be announced?
All right. Now, to us as Africans, pregnancy isn't only about a human in creation, but it's also a spirit being developing. Mm. Now, intercourse on its own, it's spiritual. It's of two spirits, and when a baby is formed, it's a spiritual being formed in a woman's womb.
Mm.
We're talking about a very new, sensitive spirit. Now, pregnancy is celebrated in every part of the world. In African cultures, because of many superstitious beliefs, we safeguard pregnancy.
Mm.
Here, pregnancy is acknowledged rather than being celebrated. Now, coming from different backgrounds, cultures, beliefs and practices, we rely on the wisdom of our mothers and our grandmothers. One thing that we are taught is to protect ourselves and to protect our babies from bad spirits during and after pregnancy.
Hmm. So then if we have a look, you've just mentioned, and we'll come back to everything else, you've just mentioned that they must be acknowledged rather than celebrated. We then have the issue of baby showers.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that should actually be done?
One thing that I've noticed is that it's common culture these days that we have a baby shower.
Mm.
But one of the things that we are taught by our mothers and grandmothers is that we're not supposed to be accepting gifts before the birth of a child. If we accept the gift, it might come with a curse or bad spirits affecting the unborn child or the mother.
Mm. What do you think, Gloria?
It's very interesting because I was just thinking about the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, and there was no announcement, but there was a word that was given to the wise men. And the Bible tells us that just at the time when Jesus was born, the wise men then started to travel to give gifts. So though there was something like a baby shower, but it happened after the baby was born, because then we are celebrating life. Until then, we don't see any other interaction outside of the baby's parent, you know, immediate family, but no announcement as per se.
Mm. That is very interesting. We then obviously have the differences, the cultural differences, Gogo, when it comes to the issue of announcing a pregnancy or for the pregnancy to be known about. Give us details about those differences.
All right. So here we're talking about before or after the pregnancy.
Okay. Let's say before.
Before the pregnancy. All right. First of all, you'll be warned that there are certain foods that you can't eat that might affect the development of the baby. Others, they will tell you, don't allow anyone to rub on your growing belly.
Mm.
They might be transferring bad spirits to you or the baby. One of the also common ones is that don't allow anyone to... Okay, actually, you're not even supposed to attend a funeral or see a deceased, because there's this thing of saying that the body might pass on the death spirit to you or the baby, because death carries a connotation of negative spirits.
Hmm. That is interesting. I know this one about the funeral, that you shouldn't be going to a funeral or going to a cemetery because of the because of that, exactly that, you know, the negative vibes it may bring. But the foods that you can't eat.
There are certain foods that you can't eat.
Oh, wow. Like what? Do you know?
I know I've been warned about eating a banana. I never asked why. I was also told about nuts, not eating nuts. I also wasn't told why. But I know there are certain foods that we're not supposed to. Even eggs, yes. Breaking an egg, it's like you are breaking the life of a baby. Yeah. So when you're breaking an egg and you're making an egg, it seems like you are breaking, that you're shortening the life of the baby. So it's just one of the things that you're not supposed to be eating.
Wow, I did not know that. That is really interesting. And then afterwards?
Then the rituals or the cultural things is that, oh, firstly, you're not supposed to allow anyone to come in the bedroom where you and the baby sleep within the 3 months of the baby's life. Another one is until the umbilical cord on the baby's belly has fallen out, the baby or the mother isn't supposed to be out the bedroom or seen by anyone, even the father of the baby.
Yo.
Yes.
So he must now stay away for what, like two? How long does it take for that to fall off? It's what, 2 or 3 weeks?
I think it takes about 3 to 4 days. It depends how well you take care of it. Another one is that a baby before leaving the house, maybe to the clinic or to the mall, there are certain rituals in which we perform them differently to make sure the child is protected from bad auras. Even when we return, there are certain rituals that we need to do. And I think the famous ones is that when a visitor comes in, they're supposed to sit for a while. In our culture, ba re fodisa maoto, meaning that we are getting rid of the bad auras and we are cleansed with either being sprinkled with water, or an elderly would actually spit a certain herb on you to cleanse you from the auras that you collected on your way to see the baby.
Sure. Okay. We'll come back to that because I actually have something that I want, that especially that part about, you know, someone spitting on your hand and stuff like that, and what to do before you leave the house. But yes. Gloria, what are some of the religious things that people need to think of? I mean, I say this because I know of people who, and Christians who have had children, but they don't do any of what we've heard from Gogo Letsolo here, right? And they just leave the house before the 2 week period or the 3 month period is over. They do as they, you know, they just continue with life as if they did not just have a baby. But what are in the Bible and according to Christianity, what are some of the things that we need to take into consideration before the baby is comes out, so in that 9 month period, and then afterwards?
I think the first thing is for us as in our faith, we strongly rely on prayer in anything that we get involved in. So of course, when you are facing that period of your life where you have conceived, prayer has got to go even, you know, deeper to the next level, because now there is a child that is about to come. The second thing is we also fully rely on the Holy Spirit. So you'd find that there are things that Holy Spirit would want to communicate to me that might necessarily not be the case for you. So we don't have a cast in stone type of a situation or a biblical written word that says pregnancy means this for women that are of the Christian faith. But another thing is, you would find even in the Word of God, and you know, when you talk to other people that are pregnant, that often a woman would be given a word, you know, either through a dream, or they would hear a voice, or however they would hear it, they would get a word about this baby that they're carrying. For example, you know, Samson, when he was born, it was declared that he's going to be a Nazarene. He's not going to cut off his hair. That he shall not drink wine and all those things, which was actually preparing, you know, the mother, because she has conceived that child. That means that also I would like to believe that even her diet had to change, because now she's pregnant with kind of a very special baby. So she too needed to look at the things that she ate. So though there is no black and white, but there are spiritual disciplines that we have that are pretty much standard, which is prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit regarding the baby that you're carrying and what it is that you need to do. And of course, you know, we always are, you know, a people that strongly believe in the fact that you need to create protection around your things, you know, your pregnancy, where you're not careless. You know, we are not a sloppy kingdom. We're very careful about how we do things. So, yeah.
And afterwards?
Well, the first thing is very important is the christening of the baby. Christening of the baby, it's when you take the baby into the house of the Lord, into the church, and a minister, a pastor, spiritual leader will speak a blessing. And that is very, we see even Jesus Christ going through that. It's very specific. There must be a representation of the family, the mother, the father, or somebody who is a bloodline to the child. A blessing would be spoken, you know, and it is a time where we really truly celebrate this life.
All right. Gogo, I want to then come back to you. You mentioned some of those rituals that need to be followed before you leave the house and so forth. And you would know that a lot of, and you can actually answer this as well, Gloria, you'd know that a lot of families, black families, believe strongly in those yellow bottles. Right? Bodhi Harla Mens.
Yeah, the Lennon.
The Lennon, yes.
Yes.
Do those actually play some kind of a role as well?
On my side, yes. They play a huge role. But come to think of it, those things are actually organic also, even though I think they come from the Dutch side. But they have worked for centuries. So with us, with our babies, I don't see the reason why I would doubt them.
I mean, I think the big thing also had been that some medical doctors had said that that stuff is not healthy for a child. But look, this is stuff that I'm going through via Twitter, okay? Twitter. So, yeah, so I've never had confirmation from a medical doctor. But you know that, you know, some parents would use Harla Mense and those kind of things, especially as they're about to leave the house. My mother always said, "Mwana twanti perfume yang mwana ke Harla Mense."
If the child doesn't sleep, exactly.
Now, how then, would you like to answer that actually, Gloria?
Yeah, I think I've actually been exposed to two different pregnancies or generations. So my mother, who's no longer with us, believed a lot in those Harla Mense leading in. And all my siblings, I've got three other siblings just after me, they grew up that way. Then suddenly comes my nephew and my niece from a different generation, and nothing like that was used on those two babies. And I must say, nothing happened to them. They were brought up with less rituals. They were never sickly babies. They were okay. Of course, there was still, you know, upholding of the cultures of, you know, don't expose the baby to a lot of people. Don't go to the funeral. But there are things that still that were left out, like the Harla Mense situation. And my nephew and niece are healthy. Yeah.
And I suppose it really goes with family. Each family has got their own thing. Right, Gloria?
I mean, yeah. And it goes with belief. I believe that. For me, it was taboo that my elder sister decided not to use those things, because I always felt like, you've got to do it. And she said, no, I don't see the point. They go through everything else and they're well protected. They're on medication and they're prayed for. So I don't see the need for it. And we watched and nothing happened. So it also stems from your belief as well. What do you believe?
And Gogo, that is the thing where people will believe different things, but each family will do things according to their own way.
That's true. And understand that even if I was raised in a certain way, during my lifetime, I get exposed to other things, or I adapt to new religion. So it goes with belief. It goes with what you decide after that. One of the interesting patients that I had was a lady who decided to have a traditional pregnancy, meaning that from day one until the last day, she didn't see any medical doctor and she didn't go to any medical hospital. The husband is the one who assists her in giving birth, and they don't use anything medically. They have two very healthy kids.
Wow.
That's brave.
Yeah.
That is very brave. Yeah. But it is a belief, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's a belief.
Yeah.
Sure. That is very brave indeed. But let's also look at, Gloria, you mentioned, you know, what happens after the child is born, the events, so to speak, or the guidelines or rituals that are done with Christianity. Mm-hmm. But when we look at the announcement, we don't have an announcement, right?
None whatsoever. The baby, or rather the pregnancy, announces itself, because the word announcement means a public statement. Mm. Well, hey, everybody, I'm pregnant. That is an announcement. But rather, what we believe in is that when the baby is ready to be known by the world, it will announce itself. There are babies who actually choose not to be announced. I know of many stories of women who themselves, the mothers, are not even aware that they're pregnant until the day they fall sick, go to hospital, boom, the baby is there. This should tell us something about the spiritual element of pregnancy, that it can't just be, you know, we're just moving with the flow of pop culture. We need to be very careful around those matters.
I'm glad you mentioned the issue of pop culture, Gogo, because that Gloria mentions it, Gogo, because, you know, that is something that we also need to be cognizant of. Mm-hmm. You know, we may be Christians, or you may be a traditional healer, or you may believe in a certain way of things when it comes to pregnancy. But this pop culture, or the social media world, has really made things difficult.
It's very true. We can't all be Borihana.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. We don't know go islanding atlangoyona how they do things. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I cannot be showing pictures of my pregnancy every week of how it's going, because you don't know who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And even this thing of naming the child and telling people, oh, her name is Princess, her name is this, you are not supposed to do that. We are told that you must even wear loose clothes, so that people cannot see how far you are with your pregnancy.
That thing of how far you are, you aren't supposed to tell people either.
You're not supposed to. You're not even supposed to reveal your due date. And you know, the same culture of not revealing your due date, even the Jews also practice it.
And this is also with Christianity, correct?
Yes, it is the same. Yeah. This is why that man called Zechariah was muted, you know, because he was a blabber. And he could have ruined, you know, a good thing. And I think we need to also explore the part that says spoken word is very powerful in terms of interacting with the spirit world. So somebody might not do any magic, but they can speak bad about the pregnancy or the baby, because of the power of the spoken word. It can actually ruin your pregnancy. It can cause a miscarriage, or it can even cause anxiety on the mother. So this is why, in a way to protect yourself and even protect people that might say something outside of that which you want to see from knowing, you know, rather let them know on the day that the baby's born, and in the, oh, you've got a baby, oh, congratulations, the conversation changes, the vocabulary is different. Unlike somebody who can say, you know, you're 43 years old, are you not scared? Do you know what they say about 40-year-olds? And you immediately get into, you know, the mode of fear. So it's for those reasons. The spoken word is a very powerful tool in the spirit world.
Gogo, would you like to add on to that?
Yes. And since Gloria, remember that while we were growing up, we were not even told that someone has a baby. You'd be like, oh, finally, she gave birth. You understand?
Yeah.
But these days, everything is on social media. She's here. We are one day old. You know, you're taking pictures of the child. Guys, we really need to go back to our roots. We really need to, even prayer, no matter, even if you're a traditional healer or what, prayer, it's number one. God comes first. But we don't pray to even protect our pregnancies or ourselves. We just go out, come in as well. We're forgetting that the world is not sleeping.
0861-987-000, 0861-987-000. That's the number that you can call to interact with Gogo Dikeledi Letsholo together with Gloria Nkosi. We are speaking the announcement of, well, can't say the announcement, the culture of pregnancy and what should be done to protect one's pregnancy, right? I think that's it's better with everyone. There's a tweet here from Sillo. He says, my partner is pregnant. Yay, she even wakes up at about 2 a.m. just to eat. She loves food. But one thing that bores me, after eating, she vomits. But it's a situation, what can we say? Is that, okay, we just don't know how far along she is and we shouldn't be asking. But is that something that could be normal, Gloria? I know you're not a medical doctor, but yeah.
Yeah, it happens a lot, especially, I mean, pregnancies are not the same. Mm. So you could find that she could be eating something that the baby doesn't like. But there are also, you know, medical reasons. If it's something that really is destructive, she should actually go to a doctor to find out. Sometimes doctors would tell you to change your diet completely. Mm. And I know that when you're pregnant, you actually, many times you find that the things that were okay for you now all of a sudden are not good for you to eat. Mm. Yeah.
Gogo?
Same answer. It might be a medical condition, because remember when we're pregnant, malwetse amantsha, like high blood pressure and all that, it starts when you're pregnant. So just as your diet, you need to watch out for that. You find that when now you are, you're hungry for something, but the baby isn't. So it's two people. It's no longer about you.
All right. We'll continue our conversation in a short while. You can give us a call, 0861-987-000. Of course, tweet us at PowerFM987 at Tsekgomoagi _.
You're listening to Power Life, Sundays 9 p.m. to midnight on Power 98.7.
It's exactly 10 o'clock right here on Power 98.7. This is Power Life. My name is Tsekgomoagi and we are in conversation about when to reveal a pregnancy. Do you say anything at all? Do you even have a baby shower? So those questions have already been answered, but we'll try to touch base with the two ladies that we are in conversation with, just to recap on that, just before the end of our conversation. I am speaking to Gloria Nkosi, a personal development coach and a minister, together with Gogo Dikeledi Letsholo, traditional healer, a bishop, and Gobela. Ladies, thank you so much for staying with us. So let's then go to the issue. I mean, we've spoken about the rituals, what takes place with all of that, but the baby shower, we've spoken that you don't gift before the baby's born. So would it then be safer to do it afterwards, Gloria?
That would be, for us from the Christian faith, that is the pattern that we see in the birth of Jesus Christ. Mm. The baby has got to be born. In fact, it made sense, you know, when you think about it. Now you know exactly the baby's gender. You also know how big the baby is, how small the baby is. So it makes it more efficient, I would say, when you're buying a gift after the baby is born. We don't actually see a baby shower happening or anything of that sort in the Bible. So for us as believers, I believe, you know, we look at Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. So it only makes sense that we follow that pattern of the baby is born. In fact, this would be called a welcome home, you know, for the baby.
And we then would wait the 3-month period.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, because, you know, this is another thing as well that I need to mention, that, you know, there is a lot of African cultural practices that we still uphold even as Christians, you know, because we are definitely not Jews, you know, although this is the lineage that we look at and the nation that we read a lot about. But this is why Christ said, I did not come to take away from your culture, but I've come to add. So there are good practices that we had as the African people that we still uphold, like the baby, you know, awise, you know, as they would say, ka Sesotho, ngwana ha we say before you expose them. Not everybody can just walk into your bedroom after you've given birth and all those things. So those things still stand.
Gogo, you did mention what you know we've just heard now from Gloria. What are some of the things that people should be cognizant of, or some of the rituals that need to be performed when a baby has been born? I mean, I know that there are some families where the child would be born and they'd wait that 3-month period or that 2.5-month period, and then they would start traveling with the child to their grandparents or their great grandparents for some other kind of ritual to be done. What are some of the rituals that are done culturally when the child has already been born?
Okay, like I mentioned, let me just add on actually. Firstly, there's this one that we don't agree of, most women. We're not allowed to have sexual intercourse within the 3 months when the baby's here, because it's considered that you must be clean for the new baby. Then after 3 to 6 months, there are rituals that are done to introduce the child to the world, and there are also ceremonies that are done. They are done religiously and some are done traditionally. Another thing is that as a mother, there are certain foods that you need to eat as a diet so that it can make you it actually helps you to have nourishing milk. So sometimes cabbage on your boobs so that, yes, the boobs can nourish milk and all that. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes some sense. Look, I get you on certain points, but I'm just like, whoa, hold up.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a few calls. Basil in Boksburg. Good evening.
Evening. How are you?
Good. How are you, Basil?
And to your guest. I just, you guys, you, your staff, your backroom staff, your producer, I think you're holding this conversation very, very beautifully, because usually when there is two guests of different faiths, it usually degenerates into name calling. You are a demon, or you are brainwashed, and your guests and yourself, you are handling this beautifully, because you know, without name calling, everyone is just stating where they stand, their faith, and which is beautiful. Myself, I'm a Christian, so there's something, I'll be corrected if I'm wrong. I'll take it from the, like, for instance, when she says you have to put something on your boobs, and I wouldn't call it culture per se, it's indigenous knowledge. I think we must promote such things, because what we're saying is African people had a knowledge and they used it, though sometimes it was not explained. We were just told, don't do this. But there is a reason why some of the things were not done. And for me, it's beautiful, because it's part of, like, the lady that is explaining from the Christian side. There are some of the things that are not dished from Christians, because it's indigenous knowledge which will be embraced by us Africans and so forth and so on. Though we Christians, I myself am on my 40s, mid-40s. All those rituals, most of the rituals, or let me say, all of the rituals were not performed on me personally. I've never been a sickly child or anything. But I love the way you're facilitating and you're presenting this particular show. Big ups to you, your guest, because you are explaining. I think this is what should go on, and this is what radio is all about. But we can be able to understand from different viewpoints without name calling, because it gets irritating when we start calling each other demons and brainwashed and so forth and so on. So to you, your producer, and everyone, and your guest, keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Basil. Appreciate it. Basil in Boksburg, really just commending us as to how, I mean, it is three ladies. So there's an understanding, right? Tato in Benoni, good evening.
Hi, Tato. Okay.
Kiteng, okay?
Kiteng, and the guest as well. Tato, I've just got a quick question. So, you know, I think, by the, let's say, when you're pregnant, ne, like, you must wear clothes that are But when it comes to work, like say at work, when do you tell your employer that you're important? Because I'm thinking from a point of view of, let's say in my line of work, you need to hand over a bit of work. So when do you give notice to your employer? What do you do in that case?
Okay. All right. Thanks, yes. Thato. We'll cool. answer that Thank question. You. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Thato in Benoni. Monica in Mapetla. Good evening.
Good evening to you and your guests.
Evening, Monica. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to contribute. Maybe before one o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
When you are pregnant, you're not supposed to eat it because when you struggle, if maybe
okay.
Yeah, because they believe this part of the egg, either it's too either hard. Another thing is on the navel, it's a navel. Because it's still sensitive and the aura, yangwana, it should be neutralized by this harlemensis. Harlemensis has nothing to do with Newako next door, but it just neutralizes the aura because we come with so many auras. Not because they are bad, but you know, that baby is still a new person in the world. So the immune system has to be that strong. So that's why you are even not supposed to go to the mall with a child who is 2 years old, because the immune system, it's not I saw be that strong. Another thing is when the man, the father is not supposed to get there. It could be two things. Because they believe that whilst you were pregnant, maybe you went home to go and give birth. Maybe the chances are the father, maybe nabona somebody. So this person can come with that aura. Again, another thing, it could be that you will be tempted to sleep. You know, you'll be tempted to have sex again. But they believe that your body has not, everything hasn't go to the right places. But I've heard that some doctors, they just say, no, you've just had a child, you can go and start to have the second one today. But those are the things that we were advised by the elders. But when you check, it is also medical, it is also, you know, that is the indigenous knowledge. But when you check, it's also scientific. To do that with I just wanted to contribute on that one.
Thank you so much, Monica. You mentioned that we shouldn't be eating an egg, right, if you're pregnant. What are the other foods that you know of that women should not eat when they're pregnant?
Oh, just from the top of my head, I just can't remember. But another thing is a fish, because fish very inherently mercury, so the mercury can have the baby. Other things,
Gogo Letsulo mentioned banana. Do you know anything about banana?
No, I don't know. I don't remember people saying anything related to banana. But the fish and the eggs, I know you are not supposed to eat them.
Wow. Thank you for that. Thanks, Monica, for educating us even further this evening. Monica in Mapetla giving us, her bit around this issue of what we should and should not be eating when you are pregnant. Gogo Letsulo, would you like to respond to any of those calls or just add on?
All right. I just heard the first lady who asked about when should she reveal her pregnancy at work at the office. Did I get it right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Like we said, it's best that 12 weeks, you keep it a secret until you are sure that the pregnancy is right. Then you can have a private session with your boss and let them know that you are pregnant. Even though legally you can inform your employer,
just 4 weeks before you go for maternity leave. But then if you want to inform them so they can prepare themselves, just after 3 months, that's when you can confirm that you are pregnant.
Okay. And that is the same with religious things, or Christianity.
Yeah, but if I were to add on top of that, I've noticed that there are people that have what we would call a difficult pregnancy. So you'd find that the person is not able to do the things, the duties that they would normally do. So there is an HR process that is there for you. Of course, again, this is not going to be an announcement, which is a public statement, but it's going to be a private conversation between you and the person that you report to. This is my situation. I need less work, or you know, I'm a bit sickly. Sometimes I would come in at 12 and stuff like that. When I would generally say that if the pregnancy is not showing or announcing itself, you would only talk to the people that need to be spoken to because of a decision that needs to be made. But otherwise, I've worked with women that would carry on, and on the 7th, 8th month, they're like, I'm going on maternity leave, and you're thinking, what? I didn't even see that because they could still continue with their duties. So in line of us saying that we need to protect this, we need to be careful, we also are cognizant of the fact that certain situations just require a woman to shout out and say, I need help. And that is okay.
Now, Gloria, when we speak, I mean, we are speaking, the three of us, and it's really something that it just feels like it's gelling, right? Whether it's via Christianity and into traditional rituals and so forth, it's just coming together, and it all seems like it works together. But there may be those family conflicts, you know, between Christianity and doing things the traditional way. How does one handle those kind of issues?
You know, I think first, when you are of the Christian faith, yes, there are practices and rituals that we are forbidden of practicing. And I believe that it is only fair that you communicate it to your family, that this is the route that I've taken, and this is the processes that I'm going to go through in the upbringing of the child. And of course, you know, I would like to believe that you would be somebody who has been carrying the faith for some time, you know, not only just picking it up now because you're pregnant. So people in your family would probably be aware of how you deal with matters, how you navigate life, and how you want to actually navigate childbirth and child upbringing. But of course, you know, there could be situations where there is strong differences, like that we believe that the child is christened in the church, and there are, as Gogo even said, that they actually announce, they would need to do a ritual to announce the baby, that which is something that I wouldn't participate in, which would require me and maybe my dad or whoever is involved to have a conversation. And I believe that it is okay to have a mediator that can assist us in settling that matter. Ultimately, you, the parent, would then, you know, take full accountability and responsibility for anything else that happens to the baby.
Gogo, what are some of the how can one handle some of those conflicts that may arise with rituals that need to be performed traditionally, and also rituals that need to be performed via one's faith?
You know, the unfortunate part would be for first-time mothers, because at this time you don't have any idea, and understand that our mothers can threaten us at times. What if you lose the baby? Hey, what's on top of a pregnancy and all that, in which when you'll be believing that maybe when I pray, it's enough for me. I don't want the wulu around my waist. I don't want to be going to a healer every 2 weeks walking into Ndumba Yabona. I think it's best that you sit down with the elderly or whoever is giving you advice and explain to them that up until you probably come across a situation or a challenge, you know where to go. You will go to them. But at the moment, they must just respect the fact that it is a choice that you're making, that this is how you want things to be done. Because now, hey, we have been threatened. You lose the baby. Hey, hoka khata, come next door. Why are you so? You go in how? Would you 9 months ago fell in the house because they said you're going to lose the baby, and now it's building fear. Morina.
And there's really just conversations that need to be had, open conversations that need to be had between families. That, and I think what we also need to take into consideration, especially what you've mentioned, Gogo, is a first-time mother would go home, kohabo, right? Because that's where the mom or the grandmother or whoever would be able to assist in looking after this baby. What then happens to the father's side of the family with the rituals that they then need to perform?
Traditionally, remember that our belief is that if you are not married, the father's side don't have a say. That's the unfortunate part. So whatever the maternal side says, that's it. That's the unfortunate part. But if you're strong-willed, I can say in what way, because our mother's back out sharp. but it's fair that you also hear his side, his opinion, because I mean, you want a high level, you know, it's about two people at the end of the day. But unfortunately, you'll be with your mother again. And she's just going to kick out his thoughts and opinions.
Hey, and those words are so painful.
Exactly. And you asked also, Gloria, about the baby shower thing. Baby shower is a surprise. Most of us, we're going to be thrown a baby shower. And you hear our mothers, how fickle gift you understand? But then you know what? There are rituals. I think our mothers also must be like, drop the gift. Let me show you how you do it. So that even with your next kids, you know how to solve such things. So now there are some informations that are being hidden from us, and it's really not helping.
And we need to take that forward.
Exactly.
Because when they pass away, who's going to know that knowledge? You know, that knowledge disappears with them. Gloria, we'll come back to the baby shower because we've got a caller that wants to ask around baby shower. But with Christianity, when it comes to the father's side, I mean, you heard Gogo Letsholo saying that, you know, if you're not married, then the father's side really does not matter at all. But what happens with Christianity? Is it the same?
I think the first thing is Christianity has this very strong belief around having a child outside of wedlock. You know, those things do happen, but there's grace, you know, there is grace for that. Until such a time where the right things, and this is where, you know, culture comes in to carry us. Because biblically, there is no restrictions for the father to have access to the baby and all those things. Biblically, there is no verse that we can quote that restricts the father. However, when we now move into the African cultural way of doing things, we do know that the father has got to pay. Isn't this fun? You know, actually, the damage their families that actually take the child to the family to say, are you acknowledging? And if they do acknowledge, then usually the families would say, this is how much we want. And after the payment of that damage, then only would there be interaction between the two families, even if you're not married. So there is that, we fall onto that as well, even as Christians on the African continent, especially in South Africa, because I know that other parts of the continent don't have the similar thing. So it also comes in. Until then, we also do say that umntana wakwamalume wasekhaya until everything is done.
Sure. Jerry in the Tlabile, good evening.
Evening, Muahi. How are you?
Kitengo kae, Jerry.
Are you still a building or a wahi? Or you want to change your name soon?
No, tseke aha. Tseke aha, Jerry.
No, please keep on ahi, man.
Yes.
This is a very good topic. If ever we will continue having topics like this, it means that we are going forward with this Esboshi show. You know, you're going somewhere.
Thank you.
Yeah, we must talk about ourselves. So hence, we have lost our moral values. We have to talk about ourselves, where we come from, and I extend my greetings to your guest as well. Now, so in terms of baby showers, and let me answer the question, if you love the lady who asked about maternity leave. Maternity leave, you have to inform your employer, because remember, many people are having miscarriages at workplace because they don't inform their employers. And Section 25 of Basic Condition of Employment Act, it does give employees on pregnancy, that leeway of actually being given a light duty. So it must be spoken to the employer so that you are given a light duty.
Mm.
Now, on the issue of baby showers, if you think of, you spoke of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not just somebody from nowhere. He actually took a route of David. David took the route of Isaac, Abraham, and Joseph. Was it Abraham and Joseph? Yeah, those the first disciples of God.
Yeah.
Now, you talk of baby shower. According to the principles of giving birth, baby shower is not there. You can imagine the song Silent Night that was actually created in 1818, the Silent Night. Mm. From the Bible, that when Jesus Christ was born for Christmas. On its own, it is telling you that the baby inside the womb must be kept calm, silent, and peaceful.
Mm.
So the issue of performing baby shower is a ritual, an extended ritual that people are doing for themselves, not for the particular unborn child.
Mm.
Because it was given that when Jesus was conceived, by the body of Maria.
Mm.
Even Joseph was not told at some stage. He had to know later.
Mm.
That is why many things that are happening, and remember he was told by the angels that no, Maria is going to get pregnant and something like this has happened because he didn't know. So that he had to be prepared not to think that maybe Maria has cheated on him.
Mm.
Now, you're talking of performing rituals on a child. Now, you have to start there. And you start to give name, a proper name to your child, because we must not confuse between Caucasian, which is a Western, and African indigenous cultures. Because Africa or Africans were the first generations, then the white people are the second generation. Mm. Now, if you want to understand why Jesus Christ, after he was born, he had to be taken somewhere else, but he was told to go back where he was born so that he must actually go through any ritual that is performed through Abraham and Eli, and so forth. Now, the issue of understanding why people have to be pregnant and have to follow certain laws or certain doctrines, it is because a child must be built by the behavior of the body. When you take a child to tavern or you are pregnant, you go to tavern, you are going to inflict some diseases on a child.
Mm.
That is why they say you must spend 6 months in the house. Nowadays, we see people actually who have a child, and then the following month you are out in the air. You are already in the graves. You are already drinking alcohol. I mean, there are consequences of not following the proper procedure of birth, of giving birth, because of that is given. Unfortunately, it's given. Now you're talking about the issue of understanding the ancestors. Any child that is given birth to, is a replication of somebody that has passed on already.
Okay.
That is why you see them when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, God spoke to them and told them that you must take the bones of Joseph and get out there and go with them. Wherever you go, you must put these bones wherever you go, because of it was the reminder and a connection of that covenant between Israelite and God. Okay. So black people or anybody, we don't die. You just replicate. You say who you'll have a child, or your aunt will have a child, or your sister. That person is going to be exactly like Sehu when you are gone. So that's how things are. That is why I don't understand why Africans believe in the culture of cremation. It has never made sense to me. But I can tell you that when you give birth, you are actually replicating your elder who has passed on a long time ago. And everything is going to be ascended, descended on that particular a newborn baby. That is why it is very important to align the names of our children and to educate them properly, so that our child does not find themselves or does not find himself on a street confused, having to go somewhere else.
Mm.
We have to appropriate ourselves accordingly, not because of the Western culture is saying that we must wear a miniskirt while we are pregnant without understanding. Africa will remain an African because of we are the first generation in this world. The Western were the second generation after a Caucasian. So maybe next time, so we must talk about what is white and Caucasian and why Africans had to be Africa, the first people in Africa, while you compare with Homo sapiens and everything. Maybe you must have a conversation to understand that an African will remain an African, cannot change by any Western culture or anything.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Jerry in Letabile. Oh. Quite an interesting angle that he's taken there, Gogo. Would you like to respond?
Yes, especially the part of naming the child. Mm. On my side, since we are a family, a lineage of prophets and traditional healers, with 90% or 95% of the kids that were born were shown before the sex of the child and the name they're supposed to be given. And when you refer back, you find that it's uncle's name, a past someone, you understand. So now rabale betting yara no lina libike se romo, no, it's bad luck. Malume atula ke treni, it's gonna happen to my child. But we're forgetting what now this generation, it's gonna be fixing what the past generation couldn't fix. I have patience. The likes of one, they are blocked, you understand. And there's no witchcraft to anything. But you find what generational names were stopped. This person, a ritual, I have home affairs. And then everything falls into place. The same thing as the same name. There are certain names that are generational. And it's generational inheritances, not curses.
All right. This has been very interesting for me. I don't want us to end this topic. But Gloria, just your final words about this particular topic of a pregnancy. Should it be something that people speak about? And also just, you know, baby showers as well. Just your final words.
I think from our perspective in our faith, there are spiritual disciplines that must be observed in your period of pregnancy. Things like your prayer, meditation, disciplines like secrecy and worship, discernment, listening to what the Lord's guidance is towards the child. This is where we can even hear that there's a name given to the child. There is a way in which you need to bring up the child. So yes, we do have spiritual disciplines. Then secondly, very importantly, is let us observe how the birth of Christ plays a role. This is what our standard is all about. We look at Christ. And I would like to emphasize that let us not be drawn away from spiritual disciplines by pop culture. So when it comes to baby showers, again, I also feel that this is something that came with pop culture. It's something that we never had, even from an African perspective or even a Christian perspective. Rather, what we do is we celebrate the life at the stage of the christening or the blessing, where the child has been given the blessing in the house of the Lord, where the families, then we celebrate a new life. And over and above everything, pray for those pregnancies.
Thank you for that, Gloria. Gogo Letsolo?
Yes, my final word is that remember that pregnancy is very sensitive. It is a thin line between life and death. It is not only the birth of a child, but the rebirth of you being a mother. So it's the best time for you to be spiritually aligned, traditionally, culturally. Protect yourself, protect your child. Let's go back to our roots. If we all go back to our roots, the miscarriage and all that will be less. But then we forgot where we're coming from. If you seek guidance, go to healers, prophets, preachers, bishops. Go seek guidance. Oskanwera dilofela, because social media says so.
Thank you so much for this chat, ladies. It's really been a pleasure speaking to both of you. Gloria Nkosi, personal development coach and minister, together with Gogo Dikeledi Letsolo, traditional healer, bishop and Kobela. Before you go, Gloria, where can people get in touch with you? How can people get in touch with you?
On social media, I am Gloria POV on all social media platforms. Gloria POV stands for People of Valor.
All right. And Gogo, for those that would like to be in touch with you?
Yes, on Facebook, my page is Gogo Dikeledi. On Instagram, it's slay_Gogo. And you can find me on 084-347-6100.
Awesome. Thank you so much for this chat, ladies.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. You too, and a beautiful week.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.